The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I feel like preaching new Christian realities this morning. But I'm not going to go that way. Hey, amen. Glory to God. Even have a high five. You know, you're saying welcome to, you know, the first half of the year has ended. You know, the first half of supernatural increase has ended. Glory to God. Amen. This is the 30th of June. God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Some of us have not visited the hospital in this first half of the year. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is just good. God is just good. You know, you get together, you will not even know the smell of drugs again. Because we walk in divine health. You remember that? Glory to God. Okay, fine. Today is not, it's not new creation realities. It's not it too. So I'm talking about relationship, marriage, and you. You want to get married? It's your day. Amen. Now I'm dealing with, we've received a lot of questions, and the message I have this morning will attempt to answer all those questions. And so I'm going to ask you to just relax, sit back where you are. Today is our love feast, so after the message you will eat, just sit back where you are, so that we can, okay, so that you can answer all the questions you want to be answered. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, quickly. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Oh, when I'm done with this teaching, I'm going to take just four questions. If you have any question. So what you do is, if you have a question, while I'm teaching, you write and give to the usher with the stretching halo at the back. Once you receive up to four, stop receiving so that we can save our time. Genesis 2, verse 18. He said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for a, and help, okay, meet for him. So you notice, this is where you find the idea of marriage, the first place you find it in the Bible. And my satisfaction about this verse is that it was the Lord God that said. You know, we live in a time where there are a lot of reasons not to believe in marriage and relationship. Sometimes it's because of your experience, things that you have seen in your life. Sometimes there are things that have happened to you. Sometimes there are things that have happened to people you know. I don't know if you've seen marriages crash, have you? Have you seen husbands beat their wives? Sometimes you see some of those things and you begin to imagine, or you begin to, unconsciously, you believe that marriage will not work. And sometimes people have broken your heart so much, and some people have hurt you so much, and gradually you begin to, subconsciously, you begin to disbelieve in the marriage idea. But most people that I've seen that say things like, I'm not into men. You know, ladies say, I don't need men in my life. I'm just focusing on my career. Most of them, they've been wounded in their heart. I get the point. So situations have a way, but the comfort in this verse is that it is the Lord himself. As I told people, and I say, I believe in marriage, not because I've seen the best of marriages around me, but because God cannot give me something bad. And so if God came up with the idea of marriage, then trust me, friends, marriage is a beautiful thing. You get the point? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So it doesn't matter what is happening in your marriage currently, or what is happening in your father's marriage. I will not disbelieve in the marriage idea. Many people don't believe in marriage. That's why they've given space in their heart. Last, we divorce. Because they've planned that there will be problem. So I believe in marriage because marriage is God's idea. So I'm going to start by telling you to train your heart to believe in relationship. Train your heart to believe in marriage. Train your heart, because God, being a good God who cares for you, cannot give you something that is bad. And so God cannot come up with a concept that will not work. The marriage concept is God's concept. It's God's idea. He came up with it, so he cannot come up with something that will not work. Are you still here? Now let me say, I will talk to about three different sort of people this morning. First of all, I'll be talking to singles. Singles, you're not dating, or you're not married. Okay? Now, I'm talking to people who are not married and are not even dating. Amen. You're not married, you're not even dating. Amen. But I'll start by saying this to you. It is not wrong to be single. Please keep that somewhere in your head. It's not a sin. You know, the pressure the society puts on people is that singleness is a curse. That's not true. That's the pressure. So everybody is working so hard to rush into a relationship because there is something wrong with being single. Actually, 1 Corinthians 7. You know, what I'm doing this morning is, if we are going to have a good marriage, then we have to listen to what the originator of the marriage idea has to say about marriage. I told somebody, marriage done in God's way will be beautiful. Because he is the originator of that idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and verse 7, I wanted to read, I want us to be there, just follow. He said, I would that all men were even as myself. He said, when Paul said he wants all of us to be like him, don't think he's talking about his spiritual growth. He was talking about the fact that he was not married. And he said he wishes that all of us will be like him. Amen. He said, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. As Paul talking, Paul said, if you're married, it's good. Are you still here? Paul said, if you're unmarried, it is good. Verse 9. He said, but if they cannot contain, I'll come to that later. Let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. But first of all, be established. Paul said it is good. Why I normally start with this when I teach on relationship is, I don't like breaking up these days. He said 30 days of I must marry this year, 201 days of my you know, you are putting yourself under pressure. And society, Igbo land is the worst. Take up an Igbo man and I'll say it. If you get to the West, a lady 27, 28 is pursuing her career. In Igbo land, once you clock 24, they ask you, what are you doing in your house? I know what I'm talking about. And they bring you under that bondage. And you begin to feel there is something wrong with you. So why is Paul saying it's good to be single? Let me show you. Verse 25 of that first chapter 7. Verse 25. Are you there? He said, now concerning virgins. Now when he says virgins there, he's not talking about people that have not had sex. That virgins there means singles. Which other translation use single? Verse 25. Mine use virgin. Which other translation? What do you use? Marriageable age, young women that are not married, okay. That's NLT, right? So when he says virgins, in this context, he's not talking about people that have not had sex. Are you getting me? He said to virgins, so look at what he has to say to singles. He said, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that adopted mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. It is good. Are thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Glory to God. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. He said, marriage comes with trouble. That's what Paul is saying. Look at verse 32. Let's see what he was trying to say. But I will have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Is this true or false? It is very true. Okay, continue. He said, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin, that's a single. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, and not that I may cast a snare upon you. So Paul is not trying to put a bondage on you and say you must marry or you must not marry. He's not saying that if you want to marry, you are wrong. He's saying, I don't want to put this on. All I'm trying to say that you may attend upon the Lord without what? Distraction. So he's saying that there is a tendency that once you, when you get into a relationship, that it can be a distraction. What Paul is just trying to outline for us here are the benefits of if you want to be single. And that's why I normally advise singles, instead of you wasting all your time thinking of how to get married, take time to attend to the Lord without distraction. So Paul is not saying marriage is bad. Paul is only saying don't bring yourself under pressure. Are you what I'm talking about? Look at verse 36. Let's complete it. He said, but if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, that's his single or his fiancée. Do you understand that verse 36? What's that translation? What did the NLT say?
But if a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion, let him hurry her as he wishes.
He said, if you think that you have somebody, you know, you have one fine girl around you, okay? But then you don't want to get married, but you're feeling like you're dealing with this girl. What the Bible says, say, marry her as you wish. Do you see the point now? So Paul is not against marriage. So he said, marry. Nevertheless, he has standard about it, he said, having no necessity. But if I even say this, he said, having no necessity. In a way, the Bible says, if you don't want to marry, you should not marry. The Bible gave us one condition not to want to marry. What is that? I know you don't understand it. I know. But if you want to understand it, go back to verse 9. There's a condition for not say, me. Paul said, if you don't want to marry, don't marry. Most people that speak like that are hawks. Look at the condition for not wanting to get married. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. What does it mean by cannot contain? If they cannot hold body, do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? If they cannot hold body, they should marry. Don't tell me that that you don't want to get married and then you'll be the strong. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. Many people are burning. This time not for the Lord. See, it's better to marry. So I'm just trying to bring a balance to this. Marriage in itself is not bad. It's recommended. Get the point? It's recommended. But it should not put you under unnecessary pressure. Don't do it. Actually, Paul is saying when you are not married, I'll get to talking to singles shortly. When you're not married, don't allow pressure come on you. Can't you spend that time attending to the things of God perfectly? Spend that time. Don't bring over that pressure. You are going for 7 days. I must look at my husband this year. 21 days, my husband must see me this year. 30 days of wedding gown night. What are all those things? And you come under unnecessary pressure. And I tell you, most times you make the wrong choices. Most times. And many guys have even, the pressure has come on guys. Because once you get to a particular age and they get a job that pays well, your mom will call you. They say, when are we expecting? If they've not given you that kind of call, it's coming very soon, don't worry. Or if your mom just call you, come to my room. Just sit down. You know, I married your father. When if they sound like that, just know what they want to say. Don't bring us another kind of pressure. Amen. And when the guy comes under that kind of pressure, what he's looking for is any available girl. And that's where you find that he discards all his values because he's just looking for anybody to marry. Hallelujah. And what they would understand is that marriage is beyond wedding. It's beyond wedding because you will live with that woman. And I tell you, you will live long, and I pray for that woman. She will live long. You think she will die soon? She will be alive. So you stay with her for like 50 years. If she wants to die, we raise her back to life. She won't die. You see, if you're not ready, don't enter. Once you're in this church, your spouse will not die. If he wants to die, we raise her back to life. So if you're thinking of marrying the wrong person, so that after 2 years, start wishing, Father, take away this. If it's your will, let this cup pass away. No, this cup is staying with you. You are here. Hallelujah. Also, so you don't bring up another kind of pressure. So I'm going to talk to singles. If you're waiting or if you're yet to be married, I'm going to say something to you. Number one, I want you to be whole, be assured, be confident Have your confidence relaxed in God's love and God's approval of you. I've heard a lot of people say to me, "Sir, sometimes I'm single, but sometimes I just want to be loved." Do we feel that way? I just want to be loved. I don't want somebody that will just call me and say, "How was your night?" You know, that kind of feeling. While that feeling is yet to come, relax, be confident. In Bible said in Ephesians 1 verse 6, he said, "We are accepted in the beloved." Many people are not whole. They don't feel accepted. So their acceptance is in a man. And let me even tell you, if the reason you feel loved is because a man is loving you, it will not be long. You will find yourself in trouble. Because if that man stops loving you, your life will crash. That's why people get heartbroken, or they separate, and 7 years they've not recovered from the hurts. Because all their hope for acceptance and love and everything was on a man. So first I'm going to say, be assured. See, my friend, God loves you. The Bible said he has accepted you. You are accepted in the beloved. So it's not what any man says. And I want you to know, let it not just be what we say in church. I'm coming to church, I'm accepted. Let it sink in. No man is coming to add value to me. No woman. But let me tell you, it is two whole people that get married. Not two half people. Not two people. One person, me, I just need somebody that will take care of me. Another person, and then you guys, they will just meet and form one. That's not it. The Bible did not say half plus half equals to one. The Bible said two shall become one. So it's two whole people that become one. Do you know what I'm talking about here? So be confident in God's love for you. It's because you are seeking for love. And that's why many girls get into, girls are more prone to what I'm saying. Because many ladies get into dangerous relationships because the guy showed them love. I knew a particular lady. This was her story. The guy was too caring. And I saw it. I wasn't watching from far when we were in school. The guy was too caring. When I mean all this, you know, this kind of guys, your dream man. You know what I'm talking about? All your men in your fantasy. But this guy was not saved. You get the point? But he was everything good. All this kind of people that call you up in the morning, they come. Sometimes the guy will come, then what? Esut Abani. Then the guy will come to Enugu here, buy, you know, all this kind of. Sometimes while he's at work, he orders maybe lunch for her, they deliver. You know, the guy was just everything good, cozy. That's why as a man, it's good to have money. Amen. The guy was just everything good. And she fell for it. I said, "Sister, this guy is not born again." But the point is, the guy was showing her love. You don't find love in what people do. Be assured in the fact that God loves you. You know what I said? God loves, don't just say it. So singles, number one, I said, be confident that God loves you. Number two, while you're waiting, please find your purpose and pursue it. Please, this one here. Find your purpose. Many people sit down and all they do is that they are waiting. And once you are like that, you become desperate. What are you doing? Find your purpose. Be engulfed with your purpose. The Bible tells us that Ruth, she went to glean the field. Ruth did not come to Naomi's house and sit down and say, "Father, send the person." Well, I'm not talking about work. No, I'm not saying find work. Find work, yes. But notice, if you're around me and you're a young lady and you're single, I always try to find out. I will ask you, what is your passion? What's your purpose? Some of you that are singers, I will say, just go to the studio, do a song. Be doing something worthwhile. Like at that point, don't sit down waiting. If not, you'll be just waiting for the man to come and carry you. That's why there are many ladies that are purposeless without direction. All they're waiting for is let the man come. And that's why any man that comes, they follow. Find your, engross yourself with your purpose while you're waiting. He says, "What is my purpose?" If you don't know what the purpose is, I'll tell you. Let your purpose be the gospel. Do you know if you allow the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ engulf you, you're occupied with church, occupied with ministry, reaching out, doing this. That is purpose. I get to the point. That is giving you a sense of fulfillment. I'll still get to hurts when somebody leaves or someone breaks your heart. How to handle it? I'll get to that shot. But this is it. If you are not comfortable in your purpose and everything, it will not be long. Things will just begin to take over you gradually. So find your purpose. Be doing something. Be involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's where satisfaction comes from. You know something about fulfilling purpose, doing something you love. You know, something about it is it gives you satisfaction. You get the point? So whether the guy is there or not, you are satisfied. It is when you are that calm. You know, the way my small said it, he said, God gave Adam a work before he gave Adam a woman. God told Adam, till the garden. You can take care of the garden. Knowledge before he now brought Eve. It was not the other way around. I get the point. So what are you doing with your time? Are you just, okay, you are done with school. What are you doing? Apart from working, find something. Come on. Get involved in church. Be involved. Be doing something. Be fulfilling something. Be achieving something while you're waiting. Don't just sit around waiting for what I don't know. Get involved in church. Do you sing? Join the choir. Do a lot of crazy things. Be involved. Let your singleness be eventful. You get me? Or let me put it this way. Let your singleness be purposeful. Be purposeful. Imagine a man of purpose meets a woman of purpose. That's a blissful union. You get the point? That's why I normally talk to some young girls. You say, I was dating him. I suffered with him and he left me. I normally ask the way he was suffering, what were you doing? You should have suffered too. I mean, when he was hustling, he should be hustling too. It's because you hung your hope. I put my confidence. All your confidence was in him. So immediately your hustle did not pay. He was hustling to get money, you are hustling to keep him. Get the point? Be doing something. Find your purpose. Okay, now, and let me talk about choosing still kind of singles. Now, if you're single and you want to choose, how do I choose who I'm married? I'm going to say this. Number one is, the question is, who chooses who I'm married? I think that's the first question. But I've heard people say things like, God will speak to you. I say, my son, this is she that is the God. I'm not saying those things have never happened to anybody. I'm not going to doubt your experience if that was your own experience. I'm only saying those things are not where we can build doctrine from. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 verse 18, chapter 2 verse 18 rather, that the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. What did the next verse say? You know, you will think that immediately God said that, the Lord God now made woman and brought. No. Immediately that thing was said in verse 18, the next verse said, and the Lord God made all the beasts of the earth to pass before Adam to see what he will call them. I didn't get the point. And when they passed before Adam, Bible said Adam gave them names. But for Adam, there was no helpmeet found among them. Do you know what I'm trying to say? My point is that imagine Adam had looked at goats and said, wow, bone of my bones, bless your mind. But then Eve came and noticed something in the character of God. I told you when I was talking about salvation, God does not impose himself on people. Even when he comes to salvation, God doesn't tell you, see, today, you must be saved, whether you like it or not. That's not God. God still gives you an open check. You get the point? He presents the gospel. That same way in marriage, God cannot impose. I've heard people say to me, sir, there's one girl, I don't like her, but that's who God said. We need to discard that nonsense. God cannot impose that kind of thing on you. It's not in the character of God. I know what I'm talking about. It's not the character of God. And so who chooses? I'm going to answer you straightforward. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. Are you there? Who has the responsibility to choose who I marry? Bible says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry who? Come on, to marry what? Anyone. So the wishing is your wishing. But he now gave you a boundary, which I will come to very soon. Only where? In the Lord. So what God does is to say, these are the options. Choose anyone you like. There are some you pick. So that's why you cannot pick a believer. You cannot pick an unbeliever and expect the Lord to confirm the person. No. But he has given, he said, only in the Lord. But while in the Lord, you can marry anyone you wish. There are some other boundaries we're going to look at very soon. So what God does is, the way I explain it is, just like God says, well, you know that your shoe size, what's your shoe size? Your shoe size is 38 or 42 or 44. You know. And so when you enter the market to buy, you already know the size you are looking for. You get the point? But we can say, go and buy shoe size 44. We are not going to say you must buy red or you must buy black. It's your choice. Just make sure it's size 44. You get what I'm talking about? So what God does is to give you this kind of person, this kind of person. If you now find all these kind of persons, you can now pick from them. Are you talking about? So the way I normally put it, God will not tell you who to marry. He will only set the boundary and say, see, this, and this. You get the point? But then you can choose. And that's why I normally tell people there is no special person made for you. I say that Adam was sleeping and they brought out his rib and then they made Eve. Then I say that there's somebody, that you are somebody's rib. Marry that person. And I normally ask, what of people that died at childbirth? Or people that died young? What of their rib? So the possibility that the person you are married to now is somebody else's rib. Who knows? And the Bible also gives permission in this first chapter 7 that we read, that if a woman leaves her husband, if she wants to remarry, she can remarry. So maybe the first man she married was the rib, the real rib. And now the man dies. Marry the fake rib. Sorry. Hallelujah. There's nothing like that. There is nothing like that anywhere. It's your you are the one that chooses. You know why it's good? Why I love the fact that it's you that chooses? So that you not blame it on God. Because if God chooses, imagine God had mentioned marriage. He wants to marry the person 2 years and the person behaves in the house, say, God, is you. And I don't know if you're a pastor here, be very wise. I'll still get to pastoral involvement in marriage. I'll get that shortly. Okay? There is an involvement. But if you're a pastor, be careful that you don't tell someone, this is the will of God, marry the person. You will enter trouble. Because tomorrow the marriage must have, you know, marriage must have issues. Must. So, you notice, God also imposes himself on people, so we do the choosing. So, what is God's involvement? He leads and guides us. How does he lead and guide us? Primarily by the word. For instance, we've already seen in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 39, that he says, you must marry anybody you wish, only where? In the Lord. That's the first guidance you must have in your mind when thinking of marriage. Is the person saved? Is he born again? It's not someone you are trying to explain his salvation. Say he's saved, Shah. He's not really a churchy person. But he's saved. If you see him, you will like him. You're trying to explain and defend the salvation. You get the point? Praise God. Only in the Lord. So first instruction we see about who not to marry choosing is only in the Lord. Another example I'm going to give you. Look at 1 Corinthians. Let me show you. Because people normally say the person is saved. But look at 1 Corinthians 3 verse 3. He said, for you are yet... Okay, look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. Verse 3 now. He said, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as what? As men. You notice he said they were born again, they were believers, they were spiritual, but they were walking as men. That is why, when I was teaching on spiritual growth, I told you that when you meet someone that is not saved, that is saved, but is not growing, he will be thinking and behaving and talking like an unbeliever. Remember I said this? Because growth is what differentiates, let me tell you, salvation differentiates a believer from an unbeliever in his spirit. But in conduct and thought pattern, growth will differentiate. That's why somebody can be a believer and still be a drunkard. Why? He's not committed to his spiritual growth. So in marrying someone that is a believer, marry someone too that is growing. Don't marry someone that is just not that he has confessed Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior. Well, that is all. He's not involved in his growth. He does everything an unbeliever does. He thinks like an unbeliever. He perceives like an unbeliever. I tell you, you'll be having the same results some believers have in their marriage. I want to talk about marry someone that is growing. That's why I say you don't marry someone you defend his salvation. Because we saw that in 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible said if someone that is an unbeliever or someone that is unlearned, if he comes into your meeting where you are speaking in tongues, what would they say? They will say that you are mad. An unbeliever will say you are mad. An unlearned believer will say you are mad. They will think the same way. I don't get the point. So the same results an unbeliever will produce in marriage, the same result a believer. I'm not talking about, I'm not saying you must marry a pastor, no. I'm not saying you should marry a mature Christian. I say you should marry a growing Christian. Someone that is at least committed to spiritual growth. You cannot marry someone that says, I'm not a church person. I'm born again, but my own church is in my heart. Don't marry that kind of person. I tell him it's about he's born again. He's not. Oh. I'm not the one that gives tickets to born again sheep. So I'm not checking his heart. I'm saying his conduct is not. I know what I'm talking about. That's one that is committed to spiritual growth. Many of us, relationship has led us to do things that we never imagined that we'll ever do in our life. Some believers I know that have never clubbed all their lives. They started clubbing immediately they fell in love. I'm telling you, just because they fell in love with, and sometimes say, I met him in church. Oh, he might even be born again, but is he growing? Is he committed to his growth? I'm talking about marry a pastor or no, you can marry anybody you want to marry. But let him be someone that cares about the spiritual growth. And but let this, please keep this in your head. You guys always are most times the victims. Because brothers, all these brothers, you think that they are looking around in church, that they are grabbing their cup in church. Most times, brothers do. But sisters always fall victims of this. Because a girl, a guy will just come. Something in your head begins to tell you you can manage him. And it's not that spiritual, sha. But we can manage. It's now tomorrow. You can't even, your kids, you can't even pray in the morning. People can't even face life together. Can't face life together. You know the Bible tells us something. He said, told our husband, said, be at peace with your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. Have you seen that in the Bible? People normally think what he's saying is, be at peace with your wife. If not, your prayers will not be answered. Not that what he said. He said, the word used in the Greek, the way it says hindered, it means to forbid something. So it means if you're not at peace with your wife, you guys cannot pray together. And when you guys can't pray together, there will not be, that's, you know when a man and a woman pray together. That's what I'm still going to come to. What do you do when you are caught in? Pray. I'm telling you, that's not just the only thing. But you guys should be able to spend time together and pray and take situations together. That's the kind of man you want. So marry someone that is in Christ, someone that is growing. Another thing I'm going to say, that's why a person is committed to spiritual growth. Another thing I'm going to say about the boundaries that we find in the Word of God is doctrinal belief. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let me show you. But I want you to listen very carefully with this doctrinal belief thing, because many people are getting it wrong. I'm not saying anybody you're going to marry must understand every verse the same way you understand it. You get me? Don't get things wrong. 1 Corinthians 15:32. It says, if after the manner of men I have fought with peace at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. So Paul was saying, because the case in 1 Corinthians 15, we are people who are saying that there is no resurrection again. So Paul is saying, if there's no resurrection, why am I doing all this I'm doing for the gospel? So Paul was attacking people who are perpetrating a wrong doctrine. There's another point. So verse 33 now comes. What does verse 33 say? Be not deceived. Evil what? Communication corrupts good manners. So when he talks about evil communication, he's not talking about bad friends, as it were. He's talking about people that perpetrate wrong doctrine. You get the point? He said they will corrupt your good manners. So Paul, there are people you find in the Bible that Paul will warn. If the Bible will warn, don't even keep them as friends. Friends, if the Bible warns that you should not keep somebody as a friend, you should be wise not to marry that person. You know what I'm saying? If the Bible says don't even keep him as a friend, then you know marriage is even too far. And so if someone, that's why you notice, you must marry someone that you guys believe the word of God together. If not, it will divide your home. It will. I'm going to give you some examples. Look at 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, I want you to look at that verse. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil submissions, okay? Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such, what do? Withdraw yourself. So when the Bible says you should withdraw yourself from some people, Of course, marriage is not even an option. So who are these men? People who are given to wrong doctrine. And the doctrine I was talking about here was materialism. Did you see it? People who say that gain is godliness. Materialism. He said from such. He said withdraw. So when the Bible said withdraw yourself from somebody, you should not be asking whether I should marry the person. So what I'm saying, when it comes to basic, are we still here? When it comes to basic foundational truths, things like, let me give you an example. Things like our righteousness and our salvation, those things are key factors. So you cannot marry someone that believes that we can go to hell. And so while in your house, you guys want to pray together, you are confessing, I'm righteous in Christ. The person is saying, let's confess our sins. You know, that kind of hope. Another aspect that you have to deal with, for instance, is money. You see, when someone has a terrible belief about money, be careful with such a person. Because money is a strong factor in marriage. Imagine you marry someone, I'll give you an example now. You marry someone that believes in tithing and first fruits, but you don't believe in it. And then you guys get married. Generally, he packs everything in the family account and carries it to the church. You know, that's kind of thing as scatter marriage, hope you know. Don't overlook those things, though. Money is a strong thing. That's what I'm talking about. Or let me come from the other way. You marry someone who does not believe in giving to ministers at all. So tomorrow, or giving in church. Tomorrow you are saying, baby, I'm thinking, can't we just, this project is going on in church. Let's give 2 million naira. He's saying 2 million naira. And I'm not talking, you know, some people, dialogue now. You can say, okay, can't we reduce this to 1.5 or something? No, because of our family budget and all. But if somebody doesn't believe in it at all, that attack pastors and all, see, why should you get 2 million naira a year? See, find some, it will just set your family apart. That's why some families can't pray. Because they have divisions in doctrines, and I'm not saying every single verse must be explained exactly the same way. For instance, here in this ministry, we have our belief when it comes to communion and all that. We've explained that in the Bible a million times. I'm not saying everybody you meet will be able to understand. People are growing. That's why I said it was very growing Christian, open to the word of God. I don't even get the point. So I'm not saying everything, every verse, the way you explain John 3:16 should be the way I explain John 3:16. Mm-mm. But there are basic things. This is about righteousness in Christ. Paul said these people, in fact, let me show you another stronger word that John used. Second John. You know, John is a more mean person than Paul in this context. Second John 1, verse 10. He said, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So somebody that the Bible says you not even allow inside your house, isn't our marriage? So you can't, that's why I tell people, it's always saying, hey, brothers, wake up. All this, I just saw her and I fell in love and I check her. You are mad. You cannot fall in love with someone you are meeting today. It's not possible. Never. There's nothing like that. I'm not saying you cannot feel good about somebody I'm meeting today. You can. You get the point? You can see somebody and feel good. I mean, wow. I know there's some kind of shapes you see like this and you say, wow, glory to God. You just pray in the Holy Ghost. Because it's awesome. It happens to everybody, through of us, through. That's some other fine faces you see. You know, sometimes when the choir stands to minister, you're on your seat, you're worshiping with your eyes closed and one eye is open, you say, man, see, fine girl. It happens to everybody. But you cannot define that as love. You'll be ignorant to do that. I get the point. How can you be in love with somebody? Do you even know? You know, that's how the world thinks. You're just in a beer bottle drinking and one girl passes. You say, now, wow. You're already, you just made the person say, you know, immediately I saw you, our heart clicked. It's your heart that clean. My mind did not move. You cannot fall in love with me because they are seeing me. You know, for crying out loud, what you might love might just be what I'm wearing that day. I'm telling you. And I know you how I dress. Like some of you now, you know this how I dress. You might not see me say, hey, this guy like pastors that wear jeans. I don't wear jeans, no. You know. Hey, that just says, hey, pastor used to wear jeans. This kind of pastor, not all this. I'm a canicaic pastor. I'm an 18th century pastor, if you don't know. But point is, you cannot judge like that. So how do you even know what the person believes in if you guys have not started talking? So talk about doctrinal belief. That's why if you're dating someone currently, that you guys are different in doctrinal whatever. I'm not saying people should break up. I mean people should discuss. Study the Bible together. See the truth. And that's why on this I want to pause, slow down to say, you must know the Bible for yourself. You cannot be in error and expect your spouse or person you meet to follow you into error. So know the Bible for yourself so that you guys can agree on something. Don't jump into that marriage if we don't have a consensus agreement on some things in the Word of God. That's why your spouse is somebody you are growing with. Man, if you are dating someone, if you read a book, just tell the person, babe, I came across this book. Go through it. You get the point? I get what I'm saying. Do it. What are people discussing? SeaWorld? Or Telemundo? You get the point? I came across this book. Go through it. What do you think? You know, let's start. You need someone that, perhaps they can be good when you're in love with someone. Amen. I know you're wondering how I know all these things. You know, the beautiful thing about marriage and about Bible teaching is that the two major people that taught on marriage in the Bible were not married. Number one was Jesus, the other person was Paul. That's a beautiful thing. So you can teach on marriage from the Word of God. Don't go beyond that. Amen. No, so you notice, and that instruction I'm going to give in who not to, you would notice 2 Thessalonians 3. Maybe I'll stop with this and we'll move to other things. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received of us. That's 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. He said, withdraw yourself. If you walk disorderly, not after what has been suffered, he said, from such a person, withdraw yourself. Let me put it this way, and I'm going to say this. I'm just going to say this for you to get it. If you're going to get married, I'm going to advise you, marry someone that listens to authority, especially spiritual authority. If not, Paul said, anybody that works against what we instruct. You know, people that are very rebellious, please don't beware of such people. And I will tell you why. If someone cannot submit to his pastor, he cannot submit to God. I hope you know. You submit to God through men. Sure you know. Keep that one in your head. The Bible said, if you cannot love man that you see, is he God that you do not see? You know, I tell ladies, I said, sometimes you have issues in your marriage because the man you have married is a man of his own. He doesn't listen to anybody. And that is why tomorrow he can beat you and there's nobody to rush to. I get the point. But let me warn you, if there is a man or a woman in your life, you guys are dating, and he's working so hard to sever you from all your supernatural relationships, that relationship, if it's not abusive yet, it will become abusive very soon. You know what I said? Because what they do is to separate you from all those things around the authority, all the people gonna put around you so they can start dealing with you. And you get to them, there's nobody to turn to. You meet a man, he turns you from your mother, turns you from your father, turns you from your pastor and everybody saying, I love you. You are enough for me. Ha. Tomorrow he will start dealing with you. There's nobody to talk to. Because he had made you disrespect your pastor. That's why one of the major things, look out for people who, that's why I'm saying, let me put it this way, if you're going to get married to someone, let the person be in church. And they say in this church. Okay? Let him be in a good church and be committed. They be growing there. I'm not saying he must be there as a bishop. Mm-mm. Let him be there. That tells you that he's submitted to God. Are you what I'm saying? Are you getting me? Don't marry somebody and say he's not really a church person. I'm sorry to say, but I spoke to a sister about this. She's married today. Sadly, but if you're married and if you're having some issues, well, I'll say come down. We're more closely. She's married today. Sadly, there is remedy for her own. I'll still talk to the coming remedy later. But I told her, I said, this guy you're married. He said, ah, sir, he's born again. I said, fine. But this guy is not, he told me he's growing. I said, how do you know he's growing? One of the ways, is he committed to a church? It's a different thing that I'm not in a church yet, sir, because I'm looking for a good church. You know what I'm saying? But I said, this guy is not committed to any church. She insisted. She got married. Now, I saw her last time. I said, what church do you guys worship with? She said, to be sincere, none. We go to church, but none. Sometimes we are here, some other times we are there, some other times we are there. If you are like that, you're not a serious Christian. Now I told that if you give birth to your children, is that what you guys will be doing with them? These children, this Sunday is Anglican. You go to Anglican. Next Sunday, say this Sunday is Assemblies of God. Now I said next Sunday is Platform of Grace. There is another platform. Before you know, you get those children confused. They will not grow. Hallelujah. So that is it. So you check out all these things. So God does not tell you who to marry, but He sets all these boundaries. Look out for. So when you now enter the market and you see, you know what you are looking for. That's why I normally advise some sisters, or some even brother. There are some people that when they come, you already know this is not it. Don't even keep them close enough. Don't keep them around and start checking, because if you keep them around and start checking, the possibility is that you will fall for them. Do you know it's possible? That's why people normally ask me, why do I always fall for unbelievers? I'm giving you the reason. Because you keep person close enough, before you know, your heart does not know Bible. You don't know. Emotions, it doesn't know Bible. He's there, you're saying, he's not born again. But you guys talk every day. You fall for him. Before you know. And then you start struggling. And so, no. So another way God will interfere in our, or get involved in our relationship, is that he will lead us, like I was saying last week, in our inward witness. He will not stay out. You know how I explain the word witness to you? It doesn't mean that God will say, my sister, that's him. I told you he will be tall, dark, and handsome. That is him. He won't talk that way. But there are people you will see, there will be that reaction. Remember we said it last week? There will be a reaction from your spirit man that said, no, not this person, not this person. And there are some others you see. Let me explain the word witness leading to you when it comes to marriage. And I say, positive reaction from your inward witness. What God is saying is you can marry that person. God is not saying you must marry the person. You got what I said? What God is just saying is, yeah, he's good. If you want, it's still your choice to make. Have you ever seen someone? I don't know if it's happened to you. You met somebody. The person is good in everything, being good, spiritual, talking. But there's a red light. Has it ever happened to you? You are even liking the person. But something is saying no. My sister, follow the no. Run. Run. Hallelujah. Now, and that's about singles. Now, let me talk about hearts. How to deal with hurts. When I've been hurt in a relationship, how do I handle it? And I'm going to talk in three dimensions. Number one, I'm going to address when someone leaves you, or when you leave someone, or when you have to leave someone. That's when the relationship ends up. How do I move on from that relationship? Secondly, I'm going to talk about still on that hurts. I'm going to talk about physical abuse. How to deal with it when somebody is beating you. You are dating someone, or you are married to someone, and the person is abusing you physically. You know how to look, how to handle that. Okay, and totally I'm going to talk about while in a relationship and the person hurts you, maybe he cheats on you, you know, or does something that looks unforgivable for you, you know, how to handle it. So now let's talk about hurts. Now when someone has to leave you, or when you have to, let me know, don't be spiritual here. That's why I said you should come on gene, so that we will show that we're not born again today. Have you ever left a relationship before? Let me see your hand. If you can be bold enough to talk, let me see your hand. How was it? He says interesting. You say, how was it? What did he say? Sad. In fact, if it doesn't hurt you, then it was not a good relationship in the first place. It should hurt you. It should not be easy. I get the point. And if you think it's easy, I just know why you're saying that. Because if it has happened to you. I told you last week now. I was in love with one girl. I was already doing dating. Until it had to go. That is the toughest decision I've taken in my spiritual since I became born again. I'm telling you. Because you know, there's something that you left a relationship because the person hurt you. This girl did not hurt me in any way. You know that kind of, she hurt me in some ways anyway, but not up to that level of living. But I had to. You know, it's tough. It's tough. Sometimes they are praying and you are crying. They think you are crying unto the Lord. You are mourning. And then they say, Lord. It's tough. It can be tough. There are real life experiences. And it happens. But then, Let me help you. I'll give you like 5 to 6 instructions if you're going to leave. Sometimes I accept a lot of people. It will help you too. Number one thing, if you're going to leave a relationship, maybe the guy is leaving or you are leaving or both of you are leaving together. First thing you must do is that you must forgive the person. Most times when a relationship is about to crash, most times one person has hurt the other. Please, friends, don't miss what I'm saying now. Forgive the person. Forgive the person. Let me tell this to you. You see, revenge never heals hurts. You know what I said? Getting back at people will not heal the hurt. How do you forgive? The Bible tells us, Ephesians 4 verse 32. He said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So you forgive as Christ, as God has forgiven. How did God forgive you? God did not even wait for an apology to forgive you. Do you have that? If you don't forgive that person, if you like break up with the person for 10 years, the person will still be there. That's why if someone hurts you, just like this trending rape issue on the internet now. And let me take this time to say this. If you are here, please stay away from that issue. I'm just giving you an advice. And I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it's correct. I'm not saying it's not correct. I have different views to it. I've talked about it earlier this morning. Stay away from it. Okay? Because I'm not saying the guy is innocent. I'm not saying just stay. I have my reasons. I'll tell you later. But what I'm saying is, let's even assume it happened. Let me assume the guy did it. Do you know, the lady needs to heal. Saying it on the internet, people are saying, thank God you spoke up. Do you think speaking up heals hurts? It is forgiveness that handles hurts. I'm telling you, like, do you know the problem? When you try, because this speaking up, I see it as trying to get back at the guy. And if you get back at him, your heart has not been healed. I was having a case within the week. This same rape case. That's why I'm talking this way. The sister had she's a sister. She has gotten saved. But you know what this? She used to be on the streets. You know what I mean now? All these runs girls and all that. She used to be on the streets. And then she got saved by our hands. And so she's been trying to grow and all that. And then she was staying with one guy. And the guy has been trying to rape her. Now raped her. It was very terrible. That's why I don't talk down on rape victims. If you think it's easy to survive, I've handled lots of rape. It's not easy. Are you getting me? It's not easy. Just like people saying, trying to make a case out of this case, why didn't she talk since? It's not even easy to talk. You know what I said? It's not easy to talk. If you've never been raped, or you've never had someone that was raped around you, you will not understand. I've counseled a girl that was raped by 2 different men on the streets. And they raped her and left her naked. Tied, hand and leg. This very the point. So she stayed there naked on the street till morning. It's not kind of thing. So people met her naked. So it don't talk down on these kind of issues. But my point is, revenge can never cure it. You have to genuinely forgive the person. That's what the Bible teaches. So this girl, the guy raped her. She was so angry. But she told me, said, I didn't want to call you. I know what you would tell me if I call you. So she refused to call. What did she do? She planned something. I'm talking about 5,000 naira planning. Tens of thousands. Mobilized guys. And they went and beat up the boy. What I mean they beat him. Don't think he's slap. How are you? They beat him. Like they broke his head. They beat him. They beat him to pulp. That's what I'm saying. She told me I was hurt. I needed to get back at him. Now, I'm not saying what the guy did was right. In fact, if you had asked me what you should have done, it would have been to arrest him. Do you get the point? Call the police, arrest him. That's why over there I said, take it to court, arrest him, do anything. But if you think that will kill the horse in your heart, because the point is, you now finish beating the girl, the guy has started feeling bad the more. So they're feeling like, you know, she has done the wrong thing. Because she said she went to the hospital anonymously, just walked into the hospital to see the guy. Say the guy was half dead. So she's now wishing that the guy will not die. You know that kind of thing? She's now feeling very guilty that I've done somebody's child. I said it's somebody that hurts you. Now you are trying to get back at him. You've hurt yourself in the process. In a relationship, even if it involves physical abuse, genuinely forgive the person. I did not say stay with the person. I said forgive the person. I can forgive you, but we're no more talking. I did not say if somebody rapes you, you forgive the person and still start visiting the person and make the person your friend. I didn't say that. I say forgive the person, but let him go. But forgive him. Forgiving doesn't mean we are friends. You know, I can forgive you, but you've not accepted the forgiveness of forgiving. You know, Jesus has forgiven the whole world. But some will go to hell. You know why? They didn't accept the forgiveness. So be like Jesus. Amen. Forgive. Forgive. So forgive the person. Bitterness. In fact, what I was listening to a mentor of mine. He made a statement. He said, bitterness is like taking poison and expecting that the other person will fall down dead. You guys saying now? It's like taking poison and expecting that the other person will die. It's you that it kills. Bitterness kills you. It doesn't kill the person. One of the rape victims I came across, I asked her a question. I said, when did this happen? She said it happened like 11 years ago. I said, do you think? They just met you on the street. I said, do you think that those guys that raped you, do you think they still remember your name? He said, they don't even know my name. I said, okay. Do you think they still remember your face? He said, they may not. I said, do you think they still remember that incident? Possibly they don't. I said, why are you not living in that experience where they have moved on from it? The perpetrator of the crime has moved on. You are still there. I know what I'm talking about. Let's go. Forgive the person. Maybe in the relationship, the guy I dealt with you, he was not caring. Some of you have a case of he ate my money. I'm not in real life stories. It's the person's money. Some boys can be mean. I've handled this kind of cases. The girl confided, trusted you and was giving you money to be keeping for her. You know that kind of thing. Sometimes it's come up to 350,000, 1 million. I'm telling you things I've seen. And they now break up. You now take the money and refuse to give it to her. Can be painful, sure, you know. I'm not saying you should leave. If you can get your money back, get it back. But let's go in your heart. If you don't let go in your heart, that relationship will be gone for 15 years. You will still be living in the misery. If I let me even tell you, another person you have to forgive in a relationship is yourself. If you're going to move on from relationship, forgive yourself. Because some people are still where they are because they've not moved on, because they're still hurting. Maybe the relationship ended because of you. I've had that kind of experience. You did some things wrong. Maybe, and maybe nobody like that here, but maybe you're even the one that cheated on the guy, on the girl, and she moved on. And you are hurting. Forgive yourself. Christ has forgiven you. If you don't forgive yourself, you will not still move on. You still be hurting. I'm nonsense. See wonderful relationship that God brought around me. Look how I messed it up. I'm a failure. Forgive yourself. Who is what I'm talking about this morning? Forgive the person. You know, anytime I teach on forgiveness, I always receive one coldness around church. I know why. Because people have been terribly hurt. And I told you I went to a family where someone poisoned almost an entire family, and I preached forgiveness. And they looked at me. If not, that we know you. You know, I at that point, and I'm a very understandable pastor. At that point, any reaction they give, I understood. Was I expecting them to jump and say, I forgive? It's not easy. Even though I'm shouting forgive, you think it's easy? Some people have been badly hurt. Are you getting the point? Some have been badly hurt. But let's go. If not, you will keep yourself down. People have a proverb. Have you heard that? If you are keeping somebody on the ground, you are keeping yourself too. So release such people. Let them go. You get the point? Say, I'm a love being. I walk in love. Say, I forgive every hurt. Let's go. I'm not saying you should go and but forgive the person. I met a guy. His own pain is that a girl left him because he didn't have money. The girl told him plainly, say, you don't have money. And the guy is on the street hustling. I told him, I said, stop hustling to prove a point to this girl. I told her, I said, stop it. Hustle to make money. Sometimes, because I told him, I said something, you know, it was Reverend Peter that said. He said, sometimes when somebody hurts you, you will be expecting that one day, don't worry, time is coming. I'll just carry my G-Wagon and just be passing, I'll be trekking. Let me shock you, the girl will be her own G-Wagon too. Stop trying to get. Don't think that God will not start dealing with the person. If you left me, Shay, you will see. Sometimes that person will progress more than you. Let go of people in your heart. I get him. Stop wishing them bad. Forgive yourself. Forgive people. Let's go. It has gone. Second thing I'm going to say, if you're going to move on, if you're going to deal with or move on from a relationship, is stop talking about that relationship. Either with a person or with people. It's a different thing that you're confiding in a pastor. Some people break up from a relationship and all their discussions is about the relationship. But maybe he's even talking with the person. All this relationship, you broke my everything because I'm talking about. You know, your life travels in the direction of your words. So if you keep talking about it, you will not move on from it. Sometimes you just, you know, a group of friends, they're always talking, that guy, he did this. That, move on. Stop talking about it. It has gone. Stop talking about it. You can refer to it once in a while, but if you occupy yourself with it, you cannot move on from it. That's why 7 years, you are still there talking about it. Ah, that guy. Oh, that guy. No, stop it. I know one thing about talking about hurts in a relationship. When you start talking about hurts too much, you will find out that a lot of people that have been hurt will start coming around you. Have you noticed it? You guys will now have a congregation of wounded people sharing your hurts. I'm telling you. And if you have such company, run from them. They will damage your own relationship. Says, you know that guy, men are scam. Men are scam. Why? Congregation of hurt people. About 7 of them sharing their own different versions of the story. You get the point? Don't do that. Stop talking about it. It has gone. Stop discussing it. Is it different that you want to encourage somebody with that experience or you want to share with someone, maybe a pastor, a mentor, someone you respect, but to make it, occupy yourself with that, you will not move on from that relationship. Okay? Okay, let me say this one. The third thing I'm going to tell you, if you're going to move on from a relationship, is accept the reality. What is the reality? It has ended. He's not coming back. Don't keep yourself down wishing, one day like this, he will just walk in through the door and say, I'm back. He will not come. I'm telling you from my heart. Even if he comes, you know that's the way you live your life and heal from something. If the guy comes, he has to check you afresh. You get the point? He has to recheck you and re-impress you. You get the point? Accept the reality, it has gone. Let it go. Accept the reality. Okay, now another thing I'm going to say, we're going to move from hurt. This one is very key. Enjoy your friendships. Friends, enjoy your friendship. I'm not this. Don't jump from a relationship. That's what people do. A guy breaks your heart, and before the next 1 week or 2 weeks, there's another guy. You will never heal. You feel you have healed, but come on, newsflash, you did not heal. You are just using that person's love to cover your wounds. When the person goes, the heart is still there. That's why I normally encourage people, if you end the relationship, stay for like 1 year or 2 years before you date again. It's my advice. Because if you jump into the next one, you will carry over experiences. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you. So what do you do? Enjoy your friendships. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, have friends. That's what I say, have friends too. Don't be a solo person. Have friends. Sometimes you need friends. Especially when they are friends in church. That's why, like, today is love feast. After service, don't rush home. Make friends. Build strong friendships. So that there are people that, they may be guys, they may be ladies. And even this idea that you cannot have male friends, that you guys will not be sleeping together, is a lie. It's not what you have in Christ. It's not true. Don't say it again. Don't say it. Because if you are thinking like that, once you marry, what you find out is that you cut off all your husband's friends and cut off all your friends so that we can be together forever. Have friends. And I said it before, I'm saying it again. If you have anybody in your life that you are dating and the person is working so hard to see that you, all your friends, it's a difference when your friends are not believers or your friends are not saved and you say, see, this guy should not be around. It's a different thing. But when all your believer friends, all your pastor friends, all your spiritual heads, he's cutting you off, anybody like that is demonic. It will not be long. I said it before, that relationship will become very abusive. Person will start dealing with you. Have friends. When the thing ends, there are the people you can now turn to. Enjoy your friendships. And like I said, when people come together, stop discussing the guy. Just enjoy your friendship. You get the point? You can just hang around friends, go out, just enjoy your friendship. It's bizarre. Hang out. Enjoy your friendship. Don't live in that relationship. There's another thing I'm going to say. Focus on your purpose. And like I said, when I mean purpose, I mean don't focus on your purpose to get back at the person. You will say, I will blow. Bet me. I will blow and you will see. Don't do that. Just be a purpose-driven person. Get something doing. Be busy with your life. I get the point. Be busy with your life. Not to get back at anybody. Enjoy a friendship. Have friends. Have friends. And focus on purpose. Not to prove a point. What are you doing? Be doing it. Don't sit down morning to night. You are thinking. It will not be long. You will contemplate suicide. But why do you think people die because a relationship ended? This is it. But they just sit down and start thinking. Oh. Even let me tell you something. Let me make the last point on this before I continue. You see, okay, not the last one, sure. Second last one, this. Trust God for a better future. That's one way to move on. You know, there are some lies we tell in relationships that are good. I tell you examples. I can't live without you. It's so romantic, but it's a lie. But it's okay. It's okay. Just tell it. There is nobody you cannot live. You are not irreplaceable. If I stop creating yourself like that, if I leave her, she will die. It's a lie. If you leave her, trust God to give you something better. Are you getting what I'm saying? Trust God, the best is yet to come. Trust God to give you something better. That's why if you're dating someone, it's good to say those things, you know, but don't take them to heart. You know, don't take them to heart. It's good to say it. I know it's okay. You know, I love you so much. I can't live without you. You know, you are the egg in my egg roll. Without you, I'm just a bones. All those kind of things. They are good. You know, all those things. But don't take it too seriously. Nobody, you're not indispensable. You are relevant, but not indispensable. Because you are relevant, but not indispensable. And you don't think, so trust God to give you something better. Don't think, when will I ever see this kind of guy again? I met a guy in the bus recently. We were traveling and he told me a story. His own was not hot. His own was deaf. He said there was one girl that the girl was too good to him. And that he told me the girl was too good. In fact, that the girl had a better job than him. Came to his house, furnished his house. Nothing he didn't tell about this girl. You know, every girl was just there. Everything. He said, but then, planning to marry the girl died. You know? And he was telling me, say, that kind of girl, you know, they come 2 times. You know, if you meet them again. And I said, it's not true. You get the point? You trust God for something better. I said, calm down. If not, you'll marry one. Because what he's now doing is not the same kind of person. Any girl, just using girls, be like, man, no girl, feed they like, you know, that kind of thing. Move on. Trust God something better. And then finally, on dealing with hurts, yeah, if you have to end communication if you must. If you must. Look at why I said if you must. I'll tell you why. Because there are cases that can be complicated. Like, for instance, you are dating someone in church, a good church, and then the guy leaves you in church. You know that kind of thing. If all you want to do is end communication, you will not leave church. You get the point? It's not wise. So if you must end it, sometimes temporarily end it. But this is the last thing you do if you must. You know why? If people think how to move on from a relationship is, don't call me again. I'll block your number. I'll break my SIM card. You are not talking, but you have not moved on. There are people that have not seen some people for the past 25 years, but are still hurting over what they did to them. So take the steps I gave you. So it's not moving. It leave. You know, I normally tell people, say, before you end the relationship, physically, end it here. You get the point? End it in your heart before you end it physically. If not, you have moved on, but you have not moved on. Every decision will be like, that guy, he dealt with me. Sometimes you are working out to prove to him that you are strong. No, stop all those things. Move on. So, but if you must end the communication, end it. End it. But that's not the first thing, because if you just rush and end it, the possibility that if you guys meet again after 5 years, you might reconnect and start dating again, and he starts dealing with you again. How am I talking about? Deal with it in your heart. So do everything I said and you end it. So see the questions. Okay, now, what of physical abuse? What do I do when a guy is beating me? Or a girl is beating me? You see, you are laughing. But I've seen it. It's not I did. I've not heard it. I've seen it. I know the problem with woman to man abuse is the toughest, because the man will not talk. Who will he tell? Even asking him, what is it? He says, it's well, brother. He says, open up to me. You've been slimming down. All those these things on your face is... He says, well, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them from them all. You understand. When there is such abuse, you know, I think I'm joking. I've seen it too. You know, they're talking about rape now. I've not seen a man, a lady rape a man. You've not met some ladies. I've seen a lady drug a guy. Get the point? It happens. So don't think it doesn't happen. But then when there is physical abuse, I'll show you what you must do. I'll talk about your marriage. I'll talk about a marriage. Okay? When you're married, you're dating a person, and he raises his hands to slap you, leave him. For your marriage, leave him. I said, don't pray. Unmarried. I'll come to when you're married, what you do. And he says, sir, can you defend it from the Bible? Very well. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus came to a point. They gathered to beat him. He ran. And that was persecution for the gospel. He ran. You, it's not for the gospel. It's for love, and you are there. It's only people that are alive that can make it work. Let me tell you even why they are beating you in a relationship and you are still there. You don't know your worth. You think you deserve it. A guy will never pay your bride price. With a red hair, they hit you. That is red light when you marry him. He says that he has changed. He has not changed. If he changes, we will know. I'm not saying he cannot change. But you have to leave him first. Let's not see if he will change. You know, friends, you need to. Somebody sent a question to me within a week. You know, when there's an unbeliever, both of them are unbelievers, and one is beating the other one, and the girl doesn't want to leave the guy because the girl thinks it is normal. I know some of us grew up in that kind of family. You know, if you grew up in a family where your dad was always beating your mom, you will naturally think it's okay. You get the point? Men beat women. But that's a lie. They came to beat, to kill Paul. The disciples, Acts chapter 9, his people, put him in a basket and let him down through a fence. Run. That is Paul the apostle, full of the Holy Ghost. That is persecution for the gospel. Jesus only accepted death because it was a sacrifice of our sins. Do you understand me? When they come to beat you, start running. I am now telling you, because that's why, have you not seen husbands kill their wives? It did not start one day. It was a progressive thing. So it's just a slap. Say, sorry, I was drunk. The next day, let me tell you, brothers, no matter what your girl does to you, are you mad? Are you mad? No matter what your girl does to you, you raise your hand. That what happened? That she's your, if you're a teacher, she's in JS1. That's a raise your hand to beat her. You know, the ladies can be terrible though. With their mouths. They can beat you too. Ladies can talk. You know, some of the ladies, you talk a guy because the guy, you cannot beat me. I just be talking nonsense. What can you do? Do your worst. Please, oh. Before, you just have less action. Bah! That is sorry. But then when there is a case of abuse, physical abuse in relationship, end it. Why? The most possible thing is that the guy doesn't know your worth, doesn't value you. If he values you, we can talk. But doesn't value you. And then if you're already married, what do you do? When there is a repeated case of physical abuse, separate from the man. I did not say divorce and go home. I did not say divorce, I said separate. You know, this is one advice that people normally find difficult. I say, sir, you're a pastor, you're saying this. Any pastor that tells you otherwise is a wicked person. That beating a woman, because you know why he's a wicked person? If it is his younger sister, he will not agree. But I have a younger sister. If you lay your hands on her as a husband or as a wife, you can't do it now. You can't do it. And it would be unfair for me to say, if they're beating you, just stay there and see. I'm not saying divorce. I'm saying go home first. Leave. Why do you do that? What if they kill you? Say, cannot get to that point. Who plans to kill? What is the case of a man bring out a woman on the stair and throw her down from a story building? I've seen it. Think it started in one day. It was a gradual thing. You keep beating. You keep beating. If the beating, you know, if you are married, because I'm thinking to when you're married, one of the things you must want to do is to make your marriage work. Somebody asked me, sir, what if I have already married the wrong person? I said, no, if you have married, he's the right person. Stay in your marriage. Make it work. You get the point? Make it work. But then, if there's a continuous case of somebody malhandling you, pitying you, doing this, please, leave for now. See, we settle over the phone. Or we meet and settle. I will not say you should divorce your husband. Are you getting me? Or divorce your wife. But just leave for now. Let them not kill you. I am talking in the sincerest, what I would tell my own biological daughter, that's what I'm telling you. Because you cannot beat my daughter and I'm watching you. Even let me tell you, sir, you see me, if my daughter is in your school, there's still a way you will not beat her. There's a way you beat her, I will arrest you. I don't care whether I call it discipline or not. I'm not telling you lies. There's a way, all these teachers, you're forming masquerade. There's a way I will arrest you and sue the entire school. Is somebody that gave birth to that child you are beating like that? Spare the rat and spoil the child. Is he your child? Hey man, I'm not saying you don't beat children. But what I'm saying is not just about me. It's about you too. Every family. Parents love their children. So that same way, I cannot come and encourage you to stay there. They beat you. You know, no, please leave. Let the guy recognize your words first. I know this, what I'm saying is tough for some days. That's why if it's happening to you and you're married, seek counsel. It's tough for some days, especially when you already have a child. You get it, you already have children. Sometimes it can be tough and all that. But then, that's why I would still advise you not to be married as a lady and sit down doing nothing. You get the point? Be busy with something you're doing. So when such things arise, you are not leaving because you hate the person. You are running for your life. You escape for your life. And people will still be talking over the phone, working things out. Because, you know, if the man beats you and you die, when he comes out in the public, what would they say? What was she doing there? I hope you know that's what they say. They'll blame you, not the man. What was she doing in that marriage when they were beating her? Please don't stay. Are you getting me? I'm not saying you should break up. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, separation is not divorce. I can leave your house for now. Let me understand my mind. Let me understand myself. Let me leave for now. Okay, now, but when someone has hurt you, this one is not abuse. This one is maybe the person hurt you. You guys are not breaking up, but you guys are still dating. Maybe the guy cheated on you. Let me ask you a question. Do you have something as a single that a girl or a guy will do to you and you can never forgive? Who has something like that? Does anybody? No, think. What? Can you tell me? Precious. What? You should not raise it. You should not try it. Okay. Well, okay, that's physical abuse. What other thing? Cheating. You cannot forgive it. Oh God. But let me give an advice. If you're going to have a good marriage, forgive everything in advance. Before it happens, make up your mind, I'll forgive you. Like you that mentioned beating, forgive the person. I did not say live with the person. You can separate for your life, but forgive the person. Make up your mind that you're going to forgive everything. Let me tell you something. People that are shouting, cheating, cheating, cheating. How are we sure? Well, let's not go there. You're a believer in Christ. We're not cheating in Jesus' name. Amen. But what I will address, I'm trying to turn the table. What if you do it? Would you want her to forgive you? If you want her to forgive you, then you have to forgive him or forgive her. I'm not saying it's right. But the foundation of a cheating partner is that you must forgive the person first. But if the person is unmarried, and is a repeated thing, you might have to leave the relationship. If they repeat that thing as your marriage, please. And somebody asked me, what is cheating? People, when somebody asked me, I received that question on my mail within this week, and then somebody asked me long ago, what? But he said, since as believers, we are not supposed to be sleeping together, so how do we define cheating? Let me tell you what is cheating. Cheating is when you are dating somebody's child, and you are making an emotional commitment to another person's child. You are cheating. It doesn't have to be sex. You get the point? You are dating somebody's child. Even let me tell you, it's not good, though. None is good. But it's even fair that it's sleepy, as people say, it just happened once. But when you've given your heart, you know the point, you are dating somebody else, and you are telling another person, I love you, I miss you, I did it, it's cheating. Don't come and tell me nothing happened between us. Nothing has to happen. Okay? The world of bestie. I'm not saying you cannot have a bestie. Okay, you want to have a bestie that is the opposite sex? Have the bestie. But make sure it's bestie. Make sure it's just bestie. Amen. Once you begin to make an emotional commitment, you guys exchange pleasantries, I love you, I miss you, you are trying to get, you are cheating on your partner. That's why some Christian brothers I feel like punching. You are asking 3 girls out at the same time. What do you use to smoke? Don't stop it. You have tendencies to cheat on your partner when you guys are married. If you cannot be a focused person, what's wrong with you? You are telling this person, you know, I love you. You are telling that person, you know, I want to marry. It's the person that you have friends. No. But when you begin to make an emotional commitment, you say, I want to date you. I want to, no, you are cheating, no. And when you notice it, how do you handle it? First of all, you forgive. After you forgive, you will talk about it. Communication makes relationship work. Talk about it. See, after the whole, you know, somebody said, if your wife is cheating on you, don't be angry. That's a counsel from the devil. You should be angry. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So when after expressing your anger, it's right to be angry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Under such circumstances, you should be angry. If you say, I should not be angry, that's not happened to you. You get the point? You should be angry. That should be hot. You should be angry. Be angry, Joe. So after the whole anger, forgive. You know, sometimes when you ask like, okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. You're telling the person, do it again. Show that you're angry. After that, forgive the person. But that forgiveness doesn't end in forgiveness. So talk about it. Let's discuss. What is happening? Why always going out? That's why you marry a believer. You get the point? Why always going out? What is happening? What is happening? Why are you always going out? What is, you know, find out those things, discuss about it. Try to make amends. Okay, that's when you are married especially. Talk about, after forgive you, talk about it. Don't tell me if once my wife cheats on me, it's over. Let me tell you the truth. You know, I'm talking about cheating because that's the question I received from my mail. But apart from cheating, there are many other things that can go wrong in a relationship. Many other things that people can do to hurt. You know, some of you are thinking, the highest thing someone can do to hurt me is cheating. You've not heard stories. Some things are more painful than cheating. That's what these people will do to you. You just wish to cheat. I wish you were cheating. I'm telling you, some people can hurt you in terrible ways. And let me tell you something, friends. People ask me about hurts and hurts. The person that has, you know, when you fall in love with someone, you are telling the person, I permit you to hurt me. Nobody can hurt you like your beloved. Nobody. Nobody. You know, I'm a pastor. There's a way people don't talk to me. I've been a pastor all my life. That's the way you don't talk to me. But I know when I'm married, there will be this girl that can tell me things that nobody has ever told me. I'm not talking about insult or anything. But no, tell you, see, I don't lie. Normally, I'm a pastor. I can get you angry. I just say, man, Papa, I didn't like that thing you did do. And I will just say, it's okay, forgive me. But that this girl will get angry. You know, she will just go into her room and lock her room and not be knocking on the door. Babe, sorry now. Your beloved will hurt you. So prepare. When I tell people, I said, carry a bag of forgiveness ahead of time. In fact, one of the things I'm going to tell my wife when I marry her is, I forgive you in advance. I forgive you in advance. Because if these other things will happen, things will happen. The model for our forgiveness is Christ. That's what the Bible says. So forgive like that. Then you talk about it. Ask what is happening. Find out what it is and work on it. Please don't do this again. And I normally say talk about hurts. If you don't talk about hurts, it will get to something that you don't expect. You remember the story I told you about Absalom and Amnon? You remember that story? Amnon raped Tamar. Tamar was Absalom's younger sister. Normally you would have expected, that's why I said get angry. But I wanted Absalom to be angry. Absalom pretended like everything was fine. He said, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And he kept quiet for 2 years. After 2 years, he reappeared on the scene and killed Amnon for what happened 2 years ago. If you allow hearts to develop without letting go of it, it will not be long. One day you become a witch. I'm telling you, I have to become a witch. Just allow things to remain in your heart for long. You are training yourself on witchcraft. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to and wait. That's it. Just talk about it. Let's discuss. Let's talk about it. Communication makes it work. Now, if I'm going to start winding up, I'm going to say the model in marriage. You know, I'm not. Let me say this. You know, some of that are close to me. You notice I'm not a fan of relationship teachings. You are close to me, you know. I'm not a fan of all these. Like people say, if you're my daughter or my son. And I see you this week, you're carrying a relationship book. Next 2 weeks, I will stop from reading it. Relationship is not a course you graduate from. It's not a course you're studying in school. Why did I say this? Because most times, when people teach on relationship, what they are teaching you is their experience. Most times. And nobody's marriage is the model marriage. That's why sometimes it is better that it's a single teaching you about marriage. Teach it from the Bible. I'm not saying just talking from his experience because we have no experience. None, my brother. But from the Bible. Are you getting something? From the Bible. The model marriage is not anybody's marriage. It's not anybody's marriage. I know there's a tendency, I'm your pastor, there's a tendency, it's normal to want to copy your leader in everything. You know, I just like how you run your marriage. But his marriage is not the model marriage. What is the model marriage? Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. So if what the model marriage is, Christ and the church. You know, we are the bride of Christ. So go and see how Christ is marrying us. Brothers, marry your wife that way. Go and see how the church should respond to Christ. Wives, respond to your husband that way. That's the model marriage. It's as simple as that. For instance, in that Ephesians 5. Okay, let's look at it. Ephesians 5. Maybe that should be the last scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Have you been blessed so far? Ephesians 5, verse 22. Okay, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as, notice the comparison, everything is even as Christ, even as the church. So it's Christ and the church that is the model. But look at what Christ, look at how Christ marries the church. Look at it. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. And gave himself for it. So in the love of Christ, you find what? Sacrifice. Can you see that now? And gave himself for it. Next verse, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself, it to himself rather, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But I should be holy without blemish. So in the marriage of Christ and the church, the Christ prepares the church. So that's why in a relationship, one of the things you would do is that you must be adding to your spouse. I get the point. You must be adding to him. The same way Christ is adding to the church, making us clean, presenting us himself, that's spot or blemish. That's how you handle your wife. Okay? So, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. So even as the Lord cherishes the church, that's the same way you cherish your husband. Even as the church submits to Christ. That's why when people begin to fight about, should I submit to my husband? Should I submit to my husband? should the church submit to Christ? That's the model marriage. Abraham and Sarah, wonderful couple, but they're not the model marriage. Why? Because there was a time Sarah had to even tempt Abraham, you know now, to go and sleep with Hagar. That's not a model marriage. It is Christ and the church. So you find out from what we are seeing so far, in the foundation of every working marriage and relationship, you will find love, you will find sacrifice, you will find forgiveness, you will find believing in the other person, you will find making the other person better, you will find submission, you find all these things. You find it. And so when you are cutting someone, what should I be doing when I'm cutting? The answer is not far. Pray. Pray. That's one of the things you do. If two people are in a relationship, please spend a lot of time praying. I'm giving you an advice. Pray together, study together, but not just that. Plan life together. Plan life together. Make plans. Where do you want to live? Do you intend traveling out of this country? You get the point. What you want to do is plan life together. Then have fun too. Healthy fun. Fun, no. It's not that thing. You know, there are many ways singles can have fun. You know, most of once you have fun, you are thinking of entering the room. What are you doing inside that room? Come on, will you come out from that place? Come out. Have fun. You don't know what to do? No, two people can just pick one or two things, go for a picnic, you know, go to a park. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh, just there, you're eating, you're gisting, you're making plans. Praise God. Making plans. People can just, you know, there are many places you can go to. Here, in this Enugu, you know, get to spa, Kilimanjaro, go to, you know, have fun. It's part of what you drink or ship. Fun does not mean that you can enter inside. Are you getting me? Have fun. I don't know what the guys do. There's things I can say you cannot do in Nigeria. And I say, go hiking. You know, don't wound yourself. You know, there's a football match. What if we can go watch it together? You get the point? Have fun. Healthy fun. Not stupid things. Amen. But then, foundationally pray. Plan together. That doesn't mean your prayer life should be dependent on your partner's prayer life. No, but pray together. Plan together. Make plans together. Pray. In marriage too, this is the game. Make it work. When you found someone you want to marry, or someone you're already married to, make it work. The power is there in your hands. That is the beautiful thing. The power is there in your hands. God's will is that your marriage works. The relationship works. So when you are struggling in a relationship, know what to do. If it's a marriage, if you guys are already married, make it work. I will not say much about making it work. It's like a cause for another day. But make it work in your little way. One of the foundational things, for instance, if you are married here, for instance, and you are struggling, your husband is behaving somehow. I tell you what to do. Start praying. You know some things are not normal. I hope you know. Pray. Pray. Sometimes, if you notice a man that was good suddenly turns away, start praying. No, I was in Paragodomadi, I was talking to the minister, and he talked about something happening in the north. Now he's coming down here too. If you know this, I don't touch and follow thing. There's a new way now. They say there's even a shop where they sell it over there in Abuja, where you just go, you buy it, you apply it. Once a man comes around you, the man follows you. Most of these single girls use it to manipulate married men. You get the point? You now see a man that was very, very loving and everything changes, and they are there complaining. Nonsense. He doesn't love me again. Sometimes take this up in prayer. I get what I'm saying? Take this in prayer. It can be another thing. Take it. I tell you, one of the things the devil wants to do is to scatter your marriage. Do you know? Pray. Take things up in prayer. And then make your marriage. Apart from praying, there are steps you need to take. Do I need to communicate? Do we need to talk about some things? Do I need to make adjustments just to make it work? Always remember that God, it is God's will that you have a helpmate for your life. Amen. And that you guys live peaceably. It's God's will. It's God's will. Amen. Can I have your questions? If you've sent the question, if you have not, do you have okay? Let me have it. How many? Okay. We'll just take these two. If you have another one. Okay. It's just small. So let me ask it myself. As a leader in church or a pastor, and you have an inclination with one of your members, or vice versa, what will you do? Glory to God. I would have preferred if this situation was specified. Is it a guy or a girl asking? If it's a guy asking, if I understand what you mean by inclination, you know, in church, you should sound holy. You have an inclination. If you have such inclinations, the normal thing, build friendship with the person, approach the person. You know what I'm saying? Check the person. There are things you can do before that. Maybe because you're a leader in church and the person is in church, it will be advised, if you are wise and mature, talk to your pastor about it. Get the point? Not like permission, just tell him. You know, because you know why sometimes you talk to your pastor about it? You know, pastors know all things. Sometimes they're talking to some people come to me and say, "Papa, I like this guy." I say, "Leave that girl, she's dating already." You get what I'm trying to say? Well, you can't break your heart. There's a particular girl in our ministry, more than four different guys. I've come and said, "Sir, I have a leading towards her." I say, "Kill the leading." She's dancing. But I'm four different guys. I say, "Please don't lead. Leave the leading. Kill it." So talk about it. Talk to your pastor. But after everything, you guys, let me talk about, and I'm not here to give you tips on how to ask a girl out. But then, don't be like an unbeliever. Say, how can we discuss this kind of thing in church? Well, you still know why. Don't be like an unbeliever. You cannot be asking a girl out, a girl you just met today, a girl you don't even know. Do you know what you do? Build friendship with a person. You guys should just flow and be friends. Let me tell you something. If I'm going to ask you out in this life, before I ask you out, you should be praying for me to ask you out. Because I will so much build a friendship that we are so close, I'm adding value to your life. You are hoping for the day that a man of God will speak up. What I'm saying is, don't be the person you just come to church, just have inclination. You start following the person up and down. Sometimes it's a girl that just joined church newly, and you just start following her up and down. What is wrong with you? What I'm saying is, I know this situation means, can a pastor marry his member? I know that's maybe part of this we wanted to address this question. The answer is yes. In fact, I'm of the opinion that a pastor should marry his member. I'm not saying it's a lot. I'm just saying, I'm of the opinion. I'm not saying, you know, no, I did not say I'll marry my member here. But I'm of that opinion, you know, and I have my reasons for that. Sometimes for other sake in church and so on. Imagine, even if the person will not be your member, the person should get involved in the church for some time. I have my reasons. So that tomorrow we're not going to go and import one girl from Canada and say, "Behold, your wife, your pastor's wife." Are you guys now start? There's no mama thing here. You guys will now start learning how to cope with mama, you know, that kind of thing. No. So I'm not saying it's a must, but it's advisable, it's good, it's not bad. You get the point? It's not bad. But please do it well. So it's not bad to ask you to both ask the person out. Don't, and brother, see if you like somebody, build friendship. Once you build friendship and we are flowing, talk. Some of people are in bondage. You guys just stay around, playing around the person, saying, "How are you?" Sending airtime. Airtime is not proposal. You get the point? They are sending airtime. Should I come pick you up for church? Come and pick me up. I know the sisters have in this church, they don't ever say no. Should I pick you up for church? Yes. I got this for you. Thank you. Talk. You get the point? Talk. And if you're a lady, I have that kind of inclination. Don't move. You can only show signs. Don't even let it be too obvious. Don't look desperate. He says, "What if after everything the person doesn't come?" Move on with your life. Another person will call. Then last question, sir. What if you are jokingly making an emotional commitment to someone and the person takes it seriously? Stop the joke. Now, I understand the question. I understand the question. You know, brothers, listen to me. Let me give you an advice. You see, ladies, their decision-making process is fast. If you tell a girl you are fine, she has seen the wedding day. No, do you know why I'm saying this? Most of the cases of I waited for him and he broke my heart, go and investigate. The boy never really said anything. Check what I'm saying. Most of the guy was just making passing, just hanging around. You just calculate, since he calls me every day, sends me gifts. What it really means is that she really wants me. Don't assume like that. And so, brothers, because you know sisters are like that, please be guarded with your words and your actions. Be guarded. Don't stop enjoying the fact that you are playing people's emotions. Say they just do not they fall. How they bother like that? Small thing, say this girl fell for me. One day I called him. I said, every girl that comes around you falls for you. He said this. I said, it's not true. I said, you make them fall for you. I said, I talk to them? I said, you don't need to talk. His sister joins church, and suddenly you're always there for her. You pick her up after service, you take her home, you do this, you guys hang out, you guys talk, and she falls for you. You now start saying, oh, they just fall for me. What is wrong with you? And if you have made that kind of mistake, apologize to the girl and clarify things. Apologize to the girl and clarify things. I'm of the opinion that, brother, sometimes before you get married, you have to call a meeting of all intending brides and clear them. Sincere. I've moved on. Don't, sisters, take note. Brothers, take note. Sisters, don't assume things. I tell my daughters, if he has not talked, he has not talked. And remove your heart from it. Stop wishing. Pull your heart away. If he has not talked, if he's just making passing statements like, boy, see shape, see fineness, this is just appreciating the creation of God. Just take it like that. If he's always calling you, every day he calls me, every day he calls me. My dear, he has airtime. Maybe at that point he is considering asking you out. There's a possibility. But it's still a consideration. He might change his mind. And it doesn't make me a bad person. So brothers, you should be guarded with your emotions. Be guarded. That's why before you start opening your mouth to say some things, know what you want. You get the point? Know what you want. Don't be sharing, I love you to people. Except we all know it's the normal, general, I love you we throw in this church. But apart from it, we gathered with some of those things. Don't just throw in, I love you, yeah, I miss you. You guys should go there with brother. In the early church, they give themselves with brother and sister. Something, I love you, brother, good evening. I'm telling you. If you notice you get to the person, please withdraw a little. Withdraw a little. I'm saying this because I'm a pastor. And being a pastor, a lot of ladies come around me. If you're a pastor, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a pastor, a person of influence, ladies come around you a lot. And some of them, you know, being a pastor, you're trying to help some of them grow. There's a tendency that some of them are developing something for you. Well, it doesn't make them bad. You get the point? It doesn't make them bad in any way. It just means you should be mature enough to handle it. Do you get the point? It doesn't make them bad in any way. So what I do, you notice that kind of thing. You can call the person and talk with the person. Or clarify some things. Or step clarify things. Let us know what we are doing. Amen. And as a word I have for someone. You know, you are feeling like you've blown all your opportunities. You had some relationship in the past and you messed it up. And the devil has been letting you know that you've blown your opportunities. That you cannot settle down in a good marriage. God said, I should tell you that's not true. God does not give us what we deserve. He gives us what is best for us. So even if you don't deserve that good marriage, you will have it. That's what I'm saying. So don't think you've blown opportunities. All the good guys that came around me, I discarded them. Or all the good girls that came around me, I broke their heart. No. Leave all those things. That's past. Now you can start on a fresh note. And if you're married, you can make your marriage work. Hallelujah. I was blessed this morning. Let's be on our feet.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.